Two boys walked down a road that led through a field. The younger of the boys noticed a man toiling in the fields of his farm, his good clothes stacked neatly off to the side. The boy looked at his older friend and said, "Let's hide his shoes so when he comes from the field he won't be able to find them. His expression will be priceless," the boy laughed. The older of the two boys thought for a moment and said, "The man looks poor. See his clothes? Let's do this instead. Let's hide a silver dollar in each shoe, and then we'll hide in these bushes and see how he reacts to that instead." The younger companion agreed to the plan, and they placed a silver dollar in each shoe and hid behind the bushes. It wasn't long before the farmer came in from the field, tired and worn. He reached down and pulled on the shoe, immediately feeling the money under his foot. With the coin now between his fingers, he looked around to see who could have put it in his shoe. But no one was there. He held the dollar in his hand and stared at it in disbelief. Confused, he slid his other foot into his other shoe and felt the second coin. This time the man was overwhelmed when he removed the second silver dollar from his shoe. Thinking he was alone, he dropped to his knees and offered a verbal prayer that the boys could easily hear from their hiding place. They heard the poor farmer cry tears of relief and gratitude. He spoke of his sick wife and his boys in need of food. He expressed gratitude for this unexpected bounty from unknown hands. After a time, the boys came out from their hiding place and slowly started their long walk home. They felt good inside, warm, changed somehow, knowing the good they had done to the poor farmer in dire straits. A smile crept across their souls. Well, good morning. I'm honored to be with you this morning and bring a thought from Scripture. I, like the rest of you who will come after me, stand in awe when Harold stands up here with no notes and just rattles it off. I assure you everything I'm going to say is in narrative form right in front of me. And so should I forget, I will know exactly where my next point is. The title of this morning's devotional is Everyone Needs Compassion. I wonder how many of you love to find a good bargain. Perhaps you will go to great efforts, to great lengths, to find just the best deal on something. On Saturday mornings when I'm not traveling, you might find me walking through the flea market close to our house looking for just that bargain. I wonder how many of you grew up in families where your mom bought you irregular clothes. And maybe there was even a stamp on the back that said irregular, which meant somehow they were imperfect. We have a little store in our town called Oops. And so Kim and I like to go into Oops and see what they're selling that particular day, and they're imperfect. They're things that are seconds. And when you find these bargains, they're often stamped as is. No returns or refunds. No exchanges. This morning we're going to talk about a God who accepts us as is. Understanding how imperfect that we are. And He expects us to accept others as is. This morning's text comes from Matthew 9, beginning in verse 9. But before we read that text together, perhaps we do well to see what was going on in Jesus' life prior to the calling of Matthew. In Matthew 8, beginning in verse 28, well, let me back up. In Matthew 8, beginning in verse 18, we find Jesus has all these people around Him and He's preaching. And in fact, my guess is He's exhausted. And He tells the disciples, "Bring the boat. Let's get on the boat and go across the sea." And so they start on that journey, and Jesus is so tired that He falls asleep. And not long, the big storm comes, and the disciples begin to get scared. And so they wake up Jesus. And immediately, He calms the storm. And then in Matthew 8, beginning in verse 28, the boat lands on the other side of the sea. And you'll remember the story because it has to do with the demon-possessed men. And so Jesus comes on the ground and immediately he casts those demons into the swine and the pigs jump into the sea and they drown. And scripture says the herdsman then goes back into town to tell everybody what he's seen. And the Bible says people came from the city and they all came out and they were so excited. Isn't that what it says? They were so excited and so thankful that Jesus had made this choice. Well, that's not what my Bible says. They came out and immediately asked Jesus to leave. So although he'd shown compassion now to his disciples and now compassion to these demon-possessed men, they throw him out. And so Jesus again boards the boat. And he crosses the sea again, but this time he goes home. He goes to his hometown. And immediately when he's there, he's greeted by these men carrying this paralyzed guy. And so Jesus, acknowledging their faith, says to them, "Take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven." But that's apparently not what they wanted, right? Because immediately the Pharisees the scribes start talking among themselves. Who is this guy who thinks that he has that kind of power to forgive sins? He surely blasphemes. And Jesus, hearing that, knowing their thoughts, he says, "Why are you thinking evil in your heart? Which is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But so you may know the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He tells the man, "Get up, take your bed, and go home." Well, that's not what they expected, but it's what they got. You see, Jesus knew what was the most important thing, didn't he? It was more important that this guy was forgiven of his sins than whether he ever walked again. But to send the message, Jesus both forgives his sins and he heals him. So now that brings us up to Matthew 9. And I'm going to read. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he, Matthew, got up and followed him. Then it happened that as Jesus was reclining at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were dining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why is your teacher eating with the tax collectors and sinners?" But when Jesus heard this, he said, "Is it not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick? But go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." So what do we know about our buddy Matthew? Well, we know he was a tax collector, and they weren't all that loved people, right? I mean, most of them by and large were crooks who were stealing from the taxpayers. We know that Matthew's real name may have been Levi because in Matthew 2, verse 14, they refer to him as Levi. We know that he was Jewish, and we know that Jesus accepted him as is. And we know that Jesus accepted his friends as is as well. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus didn't expect for Matthew to stay where he was when he met him. He expected Matthew to grow in spirit and in truth. But for that day, he accepted Matthew for who he was. Did Jesus show Matthew and his friends compassion? Did he show the disciples compassion? Did he show the demon-possessed men compassion? Did he show the paralytic compassion twice? And I think the answer to that is yes, yes, and yes. So what's the message for us this morning? What are we supposed to glean from this passage? Well, obviously there's a lot of messages, and we'd be here till the end of the conference going through all the messages from this section. But I think the message for us this morning is that Jesus expects us to reach out to those who desperately need compassion. The kind of compassion that he showed Matthew, the kind of compassion that he showed Zacchaeus and Paul and Peter and you and me. And how do we do that? Well, I believe that everywhere we look, everywhere we are, we can find people that need compassion. Whether it's someone that you work with, or someone in your neighborhood, or someone in your family, or someone in one of the families that you minister to, the children that you're called to serve every day. Everywhere there's someone that needs compassion. And maybe, just maybe there's somebody in this room this morning that needs us to reach out to them over the next few days, to listen to them. Perhaps they're struggling in their ministry, or maybe in their families, who just need a few minutes for us to sit down and listen to them. It's easy to reach out to people who are healthy and happy, isn't it? But it's a little more challenging to reach out to people that are really struggling, who perhaps don't have anything to give back in return, but who desperately need the love of Jesus. Let's be Jesus this morning as we leave this room. Let's be Jesus as we spend time over the next few days of this conference, loving each other, laughing together, encouraging one another, and showing compassion. Let's love the hurting children. Let's love the homeless and less fortunate. Let's love the lost. And let's love those who may be difficult to love, who desperately need our love, and more importantly, need to understand the love that God has for each one of them and for each one of us. Let's commit over the next few days to reach out to at least one person and have more than a superficial conversation with them. You see, we don't have to put on our church face here. We don't have to smile and when everybody shakes our hand, tell them how wonderful life is, when perhaps it's not as wonderful. Here, we should be able to be who we are, with all our sins, with all our traumas, with all our struggles. And perhaps, if we look hard enough, just maybe this week we'll have the opportunity to put a silver dollar in someone's shoe that will never know that it came from us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you're so compassionate. You love us in spite of our sins. You love us in spite of our junk. And God, you've called each one of us to what I believe is a special ministry, a ministry that's close to your heart. And God, this morning I confess that it takes its toll on us sometimes. Sometimes the secondary traumas that we experience are perhaps as difficult as one's primary traumas. God, I pray that you'll open the doors that need to be opened for each person here, that you'll provide all the funds that they need to minister to your children and your families, no matter how they do it. And God, I pray for strength and for endurance, for health, both physical health and spiritual health. I thank you, God, for this group that have come together to share compassion with each other. But God, we know without you, it's all moot. And God, we also know that you call us to be seed planters and seed waterers. And you tell us if we plant and water those seeds, you'll bring about the growth. And God, I pray that we'll get out of the way and let you bring about the growth. Bless this conference. Thank you for Steve and his team. Thank you for this board who's brought us all together. But thank you especially for Jesus, to whom we pray. Amen.